You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Mike, Bernie Madoff died. J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez, according to TMZ, have broken up, Billy. We are waiting for Stugatz. You will hear him come in, I am sure, when he forgets to unmute his microphone, because this has been a long stretch of Stugatz actually working hard, and so sometimes he's going to have to work from home here as we do the last final paces of whatever this pirate ship experience has been for you, and we morph into a new future that we're very excited about around here, right up until Stugatz starts doing Stugatz things and showing up late or not showing up at all because he's got too many projects, because you can't actually give Stugatz total freedom. It's a nice company idea. Everyone gets total freedom right up until you give Stugatz total freedom.
I like how hard he's working on Supodity. It's quite the most pleasant surprise I've ever encountered in my entire life.
Is it, though? He sees that he can monetize it himself. He sees that we've opened the doors up on freedom. Like, this is not a surprise to me in any way. Stugatz sees a path towards Supodity being his own thing that he can actually own, that can be something that in 2 years clearly betrays us and goes off on its own, probably with Mike Golic, the way he's wanted to for the last 10 years.
Well, now it makes more sense because of our newly found freedom and ability to monetize it ourselves. But dating back to the ESPN days, I was really worried about Stugatz caring about Supodity, caring enough to do one episode a week. That's all he has to do. He doesn't even have to do one a week. He can tell me, hey, I need this week off. Dude puts out like three a week. It operates on its own schedule, but he works hard at it in that he puts a lot out. Now he's leaning on the co-host a bit. The guests are essentially carrying it, but he has really good guests sometimes. That Tom Rinaldi episode was hilarious.
So I'm going to go to Stugatz in a second here. But before we do that, Billy, how do you feel about TMZ breaking the news that J-Lo, your fine girl, fly girl, and A-Rod are now officially split, according to TMZ?
I mean, how do I feel? Would I be happy? What kind of monster do you think I am? Why would I be happy? I think I'm going to need a day, to be honest with you. Can I just take the day to process this, or we got to keep going?
I mean, you know how this works in the content industry. There's no time to sit there and take a day to process. I don't know is not a sufficient answer. You have to give us your real feelings in real
devastated.
Time.
I'm heartbroken. Why would I want to continue doing anything? I just can't continue. I can't move on. My life has come to a screeching halt. baby, wait, you can't come yet. I'm not ready. I need to process this news.
Who do you like better, A-Rod or J-Lo? Who are you closer to? Who are you most heartbroken for here?
I'm heartbroken for Love and all of us, honestly. I mean, I thought this was it. I thought this was the real deal. And to find out that this isn't going to work out makes me wonder if anything is real. Is Love real? No, is the answer. I mean, I don't even know why I pose that as a question. If these two can't make it work, no one can. So congratulations to everyone who's married in a relationship, all that, but it's not going to last. It's going to end. Divorce is headed your way. Breakup, heartbreak. Because that's what's going to happen to all of us. If it happened to them, it's going to happen to all of us. If they couldn't make it work, Dan, how can we?
Put it on the poll, Billy. Is Love real? Stugatz has arrived. I've got a lot of different things that I want to talk to him about. But before you got here, Mike Ryan was mentioning just what that the pleasant surprise of the pandemic has been how hard you have been working and how much care you've been taking on stupidity. And I agreed with him on how hard you've been working. I disagreed on the fact that it was any kind of surprise, because I told him you see money, opportunity, freedom, you see the ability and the path to create your own thing with its own identity. So of course you're going to work harder than you have in 20 years.
I called it. You're muted. You're still muted.
You've been having...
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, what's going on?
Now you're overly loud.
Oh, okay. Hold on a sec. This Keep is it all what, in, Mike.
You want to tell people the tension we have with Stugatz? Because he always wants to be doing the show from somewhere else, and he always ruins the show when he does it from somewhere else.
I have to show you guys. He sent me a note of possible vacation, and it's the most maddening thing because he could – I still have no idea. If you look at the calendar, I tried to transcribe his notes best of my ability. Over the summer – and you're entitled to take as much vacation as you want, but I still have no idea exactly how much. He could take anywhere in the neighborhood from one day off to 23.
Well, we're going to figure out here in the next couple of months. We're going to, in various states, some people here and there are going to be out. And so this is going to be a disjointed couple of months. But Stugatz, why are your sausage fingers up? You know you ruin the show every time. It's not like we haven't had this conversation 50 times. The show is better when we're in the same place, and you always want to be off doing other things and mixing and matching expense accounts with vacations and work.
And he's presently doing it remote, which I knew was a possibility. I just never know if it's a certainty or not, because hey, I might take Thursday off, and I might take Tuesday off too, because I'm definitely off Tuesday and I'm definitely off Thursday. Just tell me you're definitely off.
Is everything working now? Can you guys hear me okay?
You're still a little loud, but whatever.
You're still a little loud.
First of all, let me just say, Moderna week, dad vaccine, not feeling very good. Brother in town, we're doing a little family bonding. You know, my mom passed away not too long ago, Dan. In terms of me coming down to that studio, I've been coming down to that studio every day for months, even during a pandemic, with zero complaints whatsoever, even though I was putting my life on the line for the sake of the show. But I did so with a smile on my face. I did so because that is the job. And I realized that the show is better when you and I are in the same studio. But occasionally I have to be off doing something else. And in terms of working hard, you nailed it. I see a clear path where I could just be doing stupidity one day, and I am putting the hours in right now. How about that?
He's got his own little startup going. We're very happy that Chris Cody is in studio today. So this is, you guys have been pretty hard on us over the course of the last year, expecting the show to be exactly the same during a pandemic, when there's some degree of difficulty in trying to do this show with everyone in a different place. So one of the things that's happened is, you may have noticed when Amin came into studio, wow, Amin was really good. Chris Whittingham, all of a sudden talking more, because he's in studio. And now Chris Cody, who has realized that Whittingham is talking more, has stuck a freckled elbow in Whittingham's cheek. And now Chris Cody is in the room because he wants to add to the chemistry we've got going around here.
I'm gonna crush it, Dan. I am back, baby. Let's do this.
He started with his mask on, which is why he sounded muffled.
Yeah, cobwebs, Dan.
Do you have the sound back there of Mad Dog? Because I want to get into what's happening here with Kevin Durant and Shannon Sharp. It is funny. Kevin Durant, I believe to be the first, Stugatz, of our time, sort of millennial superstar who is a little too addicted to the internet and is fighting people in a way. I know we're all a little addicted to our devices and the internet, but this guy, this stuff keeps landing on him. And there's a funny back and forth between Shannon Sharpe and Kevin Durant that involves a fake quote, because now Shannon Sharpe is my age, so he gets fooled by the internet and he read a fake quote and Kevin Durant got mad about it. And then Shannon Sharpe blocked Kevin Durant. The whole thing is wonderful. It really is. It's just a
con- That's unfortunate.
It is. It's a content farm.
I'm convinced he has no idea how to lower his microphone at this point. It just is what it is with him.
Okay, so here we go now. And I'm sorry, Mike is such a stickler for audio. I know that many of you are unhappy with how we sound at all times.
It's all we have. I'm a stickler for the medium.
Yes, it is all we have, but also all we have is Stugatz. Like, we have to do the dance around Stugatz things. Today's explanation for why he's not coming in is my brother's in town.
It's incredible.
He would kill
I haven't seen him in over a year. It's a good explanation. You live right down the street from your brother. I mean, let me see my brother.
Can you make an athlete? Imagine Stugatz. Imagine an athlete missing a game for a team that you care about.
I can, Kyrie.
And the
it's
explanation.
What the Nets have been doing all season. What are you talking about?
Exactly. It's all they do.
So let's play the sound of Mad Dog complaining about superstars sitting, because we love when Mad Dog, I mean, he's going to go to the grave this way. The sports radio is dying and things are changing in the media, but he broke off from his partner after creating sports radio, helping birth it. And at the very end, he's going to go out talking to Howard Stern about eating edible gummies and yelling at clouds about players today not playing enough.
Let's go to Pat Riley. Hey, Pat, no Ewing tonight. I know you're playing the Bulls and Jordan, but Ewing's going to pass because his knees are sore. Ewing, who played every night when he was freaking, I was there many a night in many a locker room when Ewing had to freaking ice his knees, talk to the media, every game, sit in front of that locker room, every game, sat there with his ice on his knees, and he played night after night after night after night, played his ass off, night after night. You think, I tell you something right now, you ain't wanted to play. How about Krause telling Jordan somewhere in the 98 season when Pippen decided to take a pass with that late surgery, as we all saw there in the documentary. How about Krause telling Mike, you know, Mike, we're in Sacramento tonight. You know, you played last night. You know, let's take a blow. You know what Jordan would do? You know what Jordan would do? My God almighty. You couldn't rip that uniform off him. That's basketball. That's what he would do. He'd freaking play. How about Paul Silas? How about Havlicek? How about Havlicek? Ran 8 miles every game. Havel played from 1963 to 1979. 16 freaking years. Every single game. You think Havlicek's taking a night off? Havlicek. Twice the player that any of these guys are. You know how great Havlicek was? It makes me sick. And you guys rip Cousy. Yeah, how many games Cousy played? You know, he taking trades to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and run into the ball game because the trade is late, and they played the night before in Boston. And he go out there and play 45 minutes. How about freaking Durant say, you know what? I'm playing. Get the hell out of here. You know, Durant, instead of fighting Michael Rappaport, how about Durant tell freaking Nash and his freaking owner, who's paid him $40 million, and the GM, Marks, who's a freaking out of the Popovich school, how about the Rams say, give me the goddamn uniform! I'm playing tonight!
All right, Guillermo, put it on the poll. Do you long for the day when Cousy took the train to the game?
Hondo and Kuz.
I mean, he's screaming Havlicek. It's 2021, Stugatz. He's screaming about Havlicek and
Havlicek.
You think Havlicek's taking a night off? Havlicek. Twice the player that any of these guys are. No great Havlicek was.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Havlicek twice the player that any of these players are?
Ask Bob Ryan.
Havlicek.
Did he yell Hondo in there somewhere? Because there were a couple of times where he was totally breathless.
Havlicek! Twice the player that any of these guys are. You know how great Havlicek was?
Here it is. I love it at the end where he's just, that is just like a footnote, just running out of breath. Do you know how great Havlicek was?
You know how great Havlicek was?
Do you know how great Havlicek was?
You know how great Havlicek was?
It's It's one word. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you know how great Havlicek was? One word. In
no great Havlicek was. No great Havlicek was. No great Havlicek was. No great Havlicek was.
There are no pauses.
Do you? Do
no
you
great Havlicek was.
Do you know? Do
no
you
great Havlicek was. Havlicek! And you guys rip Cousy. Yeah, how many games Cousy play? You know, he's taking trades to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and run into the ball game because the trade is late and they played the night before in Boston. And you guys rip Cousy.
Mad Dog, I got to salute you. You're still out here getting paid in 2021 for somebody taking a train to the game. Like, it's unbelievable. That's a 40-year run he's had doing that, Stugatz. Like, he was you before you realized it was more profitable to make fun of you.
I'm not certain if they were playing 82 games back then, but I am certain that Cousy never played 82 games.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I have to admit, I was really excited driving in today, so I was doing a little car singing on the way in. I feel like, Mike, you're a music guy. I feel like you belt it sometimes in the car.
Oh, I can let it rip in the car a little bit.
Now, I'm trying to look, and it got me thinking, looking around the Zoom here in our show, besides Mike, I don't see a lot of loud car singers in our crew. I think me and Mike are the only ones that like get after it alone in the car.
Oh, I've got Billy as a car singer.
Really?
I've got Billy as a car singer. Yeah.
Billy?
Absolutely.
Like ballads? Like romantic songs?
No, like
Hispanic
like Enrique,
songs?
Pitbull.
How about reggaeton? Do you have Billy doing reggaeton in the car?
I've got Billy singing the hits.
Billy, what are you doing in the car? How much out loud will we get if you're in the car by yourself and feeling it?
Very little. I mean, sometimes I'll sing along if Greeny's playing the hits. I can say the takes with him. But outside of that, there's not a ton of singing.
Yeah, I don't imagine you being that flamboyantly peacock. How about Roy has surprised us on occasion. When will Roy belt out a little something in the car? You can be fairly stoic, and I'm using that as a camouflage for you. Sour, dour, dark. So stoic. Will you sing in the car?
No. I would not sing in the car. I listen
really?
To podcasts in the car. That's about it.
But you karaoke.
I know songs. I can sing songs. I just don't sing in the car.
Yeah, he listens to NPR, Dan.
Do you sing in the shower?
No.
Wow. Where do you sing outside of karaoke?
In my head.
All right.
Repressed Songs in the Head by Roy Bellamy. I will occasionally, on only a couple of songs, sing. It's like I will walk 500 miles or some sort of Chumbawamba.
Yeah, but I'm talking about belting it out here. I'm not talking about just moving your lips along with the words. I am talking about like where if somebody at a red light looks at you and you look at them, like it's embarrassing for yourself because you're so into it. I keep going.
I love to sing out loud. If you're not going to sing out loud in the car, where are you going to sing out loud? I mean, that's the ultimate place of privacy right there. Dan, I'm with you. It's just a couple of songs. I, the Tiger, We Are the Champions, songs like that. I mean, those are great ones to sing out loud.
But Dan, you have a convertible, right? Do you ever find yourself at a red light with the top down, just feeling a song, and then you just belt it out at the top of your lungs?
I'm more likely to be repressed if the top is down than I am if the top is off, where I feel like a little more privacy, intimacy of the cocoon. It's a little more embarrassing for me, especially if I'm like I always am on 90s on 9 and someone recognizes me and I'm doing Straight Out of Compton.
You ever do the move where you like a song so much, but you're in traffic, so you hold up the phone to your ear?
Oh, wow.
You ever do that?
No.
Because then all of a sudden they can't tell you're singing George Michael's Freedom 90. They just think you're in a very animated phone conversation.
That is so good. I have done that before where I go from singing to, I don't hold my phone up because I just assume maybe it's Bluetooth. So I'll just go into just normal talking out loud. Like I would be like I can't really show it's radio here. I'm trying to like show you guys how I would just.
You can talk on radio.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
See, I was just mouthing.
Rough start back for Chris Cody.
That was a good topic.
The Billy Gillespie. The Billy Gillespie is what you're talking about. On what occasions will everyone on this Zoom choose to do the fake phone call? On what occasions will you do it? Because the only time I will do it is when I see someone in my peripheral that I know has recognized me and now is going to want to talk about Marlins baseball. And so I
good topic, though. They're hot, Dan. Four in a row.
How are you feeling about it? You feeling strong? You feeling who's got you fired up?
I got to tell you something. I've criticized Donnie in the past. Balls last night. Balls by Donnie Baseball. Pitching to Ronald Acuña Jr. in extra innings with that automatic runner on second base. Had he already hit two home runs in the game? Balls. Because the easy move is just walk him. Then you could force a double play potentially. But no, they went right after him and struck him out. Balls. I don't know if I mentioned that already.
You did. You mentioned that a few times.
It's really technically strikes.
Yes, that too.
Three of them.
Did you guys see what happened with Bryce Harper the other day where a guy was heckling him and he's on the top dugout step and he's leaning against the railing and a guy is just burying him saying, "You're trash, Acuña." Or he's actually saying, "Acuña is better than you are. Acuña is better than you are." And finally, Bryce just turns around and says, "Acuña," like holds his fingers together and just starts pronouncing the tilde. It's Acuña. I wish he had had the next comedic step of saying, "Acuña. It's Acuña who's better than me. I'm garbage, and Acuña is better than I am."
Bryce, you'll never be as good as Acuña. As hard as you try, you'll never be as good as him. You'll never be as good as Acuña. You can try as hard as you want. You'll never be as good as Acuña. Ever.
It's not wrong. He's right. He's better than Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is so overrated. It's so overpaid. Is he not? Oh, God. Is this going to be a thing that I'm being mean to Bryce Harper? Is that he's, we're going to remember Bryce Harper and his 260 batting average for all of time? Get out of here. Please, Bryce Harper.
What are you smiling about?
I said it, bust.
Stugatz, bust? Jesus.
Bust. Yeah, bust. Is he not a bust?
Where were you guys 5 years ago where I had the tape that said Bryce Harper was not very good? He's an overrated baseball player. Billy, I needed you then. I'll back you up now.
No. I was with you. The best thing Bryce Harper ever did, guys, was hit home runs with a metal bat in Las Vegas. True or false? And that was in high school.
Stugatz, I will not allow you to do revisionist history here, celebrate in your den as if you merely said that Bryce Harper was overrated. That is not what you said about Bryce Harper. You said Bryce Harper was bad at baseball. That is what you said. Yeah. That is a direct quote from you. He is not bad at baseball. Nor is he a bust either.
Well, he's not good.
All right, well, let's listen. Let's find
he's
the sound.
A bust.
We wrestled this away from ESPN, so let's hear Stugatz's analysis. Again, the revisionist history is all he said is not that good at baseball, overrated.
This is courtesy of the Ticket Talkback line, a voicemail that 790 The Ticket, our once flagship, had, and it was just, I think, 9 out of 10 voicemails were left by Stugatz.
Hey, listen, I was looking up Ron Harper's career stats. Because that's what I do. Occasionally, I like to check out Ron's stats. Reminded me of this Bryce Harper story. I don't know if you saw it, but he was on the DL, Bryce Harper, and first game back, after the game, he's complaining about the lineup. He doesn't think Matt Williams, his manager, the dopey manager who made Bryce Harper hustle more, and that's the reason he got hurt in the first place. But forget about that. We digress. I mean, this Bryce Harper, he comes back from a long stint on the DL. His first game back, he's complaining about the lineup that Matt Williams trots out there. Who is Bryce Harper? Baseball, big savior for baseball, really? Never had more than 59 RBIs in a single season. Hasn't played a full season yet. This year, he's played 24 games. He has a single home run with 10 RBIs, and he's complaining about the lineup? How about you stop worrying about the lineup and worrying about hitting a baseball? Go hit a home run. Go have more than 50 RBIs in a season. when you do that, you can start complaining about the lineup. Bryce Harper. Harper. Bryce Harper. Hey, I'm going to say baseball. I'm Bryce Harper. Please. You're a joke. You're an average ball player at best.
Okay.
Mm. 7 years ago.
Nailed it.
I mean, I'm just looking here at this baseball reference, and you guys are the stat guys, so you tell me, is a negative war good? Because I would say that probably means he's a below average baseball player at this point, right? Negative war, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Explain it to me. Because that's what he has this year.
That means your team's better when you're not in the lineup, doesn't it, Dano?
Means he's
I mean,
worse.
Explain the numbers to me. Would they be better playing eight guys instead of nine if one of them's Bryce Harper?
I think they need to go to his replacement, being that Bryce Harper is presently worse than him, according to that stat.
Negative 0.2 is so barely negative.
It is so barely negative, Bill, but you just needed a negative, and you had your negative, okay? You were praying for it, and you got it.
I want to find out in our group who the hecklers are. I judge hecklers. I do not like hecklers. I think every time I'm at a game and some guy is doing the look at me thing of trying to make everyone around him laugh by yelling at the players, that's not really a thing that's for me. But I was surprised to learn that David Sampson was a very loud heckler at Madison Square Garden at Knicks games. I judge him for that. Who in our group is a heckler? Who do we have here that will go to a game and heckle? Billy, will you heckle ever?
I used to. I grew out of it, but I used to heckle.
What?
Yeah.
That is shocking.
It's not a look at me thing. It's doing your part, Dan, for your team. That's what it is. It's letting people know that you're dissatisfied with them or that you hate them for no reason other than the fact that they play for another team. That's what heckling is.
Okay, and when did you outgrow it? How old were you?
I want to say probably like 17, I outgrew it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Chris, have you outgrown heckling? You look to me like a heckler.
I do. I seem like a heckler, even to myself. Yes, I actually have flipped like completely on this. I used to be a big heckler in high school, around that same age as Billy. And it wasn't just standing up with two strikes to get the strikeout. It was cupping my hand and like yelling, especially at Marlins Park back in the day, whatever it was called, Joe Robbie. I mean, that thing, that place, you could yell at these players and they heard every word you would say. But yes, now I look back. I heard that video with that kid. And I was like, that was me, and I hated myself.
I go the other way on it. I don't actually heckle people. If I'm with my friends, I want to have a good time, and we're at a baseball game, we just really get behind a random person on the field, and it's not even players. Like, well, there was this spring training game that was happening in Houston when we were in town for WrestleMania. It's when they, like, do a soft opening for a stadium. And I got to find the umpire's name, but we were so supportive. Every time they went to him for a check swing, he had his entire cheering section, and he loved us. He tipped his cap to us by the end of the seventh inning.
Were you referring to him as Blue?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that's a meckle. I've done that before. That's when you mockingly heckle somebody. I have done that before. Before Lance Berkman was Lance Berkman, when I was like 7 years old with a camp sitting in the outfield, we heckled the shit out of Lance Berkman. When nobody knew who he was. I remember 5 years after that being like, wow, Lance Berkman really turned into something after that.
12-year-old you was ashamed of
my meckle. Yeah, I meckled him before he was anybody.
Dan, are you a heckler? Like, I know you're not a heckler because you're not very, you know, you're not very emotional as a fan, but do you heckle on the inside? I'm just wondering.
No, Stu Gantz. Come on. Why would you be wondering about that?
No, come on. You have he's heckled on the inside. There's no question about it.
Put it on the poll. Has Dan ever heckled on the inside?
Much like your meckling of Lance Berkman really took him to another level and fueled him, David Rackley is a full-time main behind-the-plate umpire now. Really spurned on by the support that he got in Houston from three drunk guys in town for a WrestleMania.
I can imagine the idea of just falling in love with like some middle reliever and just shouting at him all game about being on the very fringes of the league, but in a way that's overly supportive and confusing to him because he can't tell what your fandom means. David Sampson, I imagine being a cruel heckler. I imagine him being somebody who finds himself funny as a heckler.
I would get behind random Marlins because at the old stadium, I mean, I guess you can say this for now, not a lot of people there. So you don't have to actually traditionally heckle somebody. You could just be talking just normal talk, voice, and they hear everything there because of how the sound carries. And I turned myself into the biggest Brian Banks fan in 2003. I would sit in the seat number that was his jersey number, and I would just be all about him. Did you ever have a random guy that knew he had your full support?
I meckled Nate Bump many times.
I think I've told this story before, but I went to this doubleheader at Marlins Park one year.
Love the doubleheader.
It was horrible. Wait, it was a doubleheader.
You want to try that again, Chris? What just happened there? What just happened?
Love the doubleheader. Should I go to the ocean?
Yes. Yeah. Please, get out of
be
here.
Be very careful.
Just go get out of
Whitney
here.
Whitney does a lot of shit around here. Yes, I have a lot of...
Don't forget your mask.
Yes, he just... Cody just came in here and realized how many plates Whittingham is spinning. Get out of here. Go to the ocean.
Man, these mistakes hurt a lot more in person. When I'm on Zoom and I make a mistake, I'm just like, no big deal.
I enjoy you muting your microphone and just going, damn it.
I felt that way.
It's so Chris Farley. He, like, his face gets even redder. And
stupid.
He punches himself in the face.
Why are you so stupid?
It's muted. It's muted. He has a daughter growing up against next to... Who was that? That was Stugatz, of course it was. Put a $2.
What did I do? I didn't do anything. What do you mean $2? $2 for what?
You just had a computer on. It's all right. I've asked you to mute yourself when you're not talking. These are the parameters.
Mute it.
What are we going to do with him?
Just count down the hours till Monday's show, really, because the ship has sailed from making him good today.
Well, because he's already decided, though. I don't understand what he thought his work day was today, because he just said, hey, brother in town, maybe I can give you from like 9 to 11, you know, if you can squeeze me in. And I'm like, don't you work here? Like, what are you doing? You're in your house. You're waiting for your brother. You're going to foul up the show. You're going to actively make it less good. What is your situation now with heckling? Do you want to get in on this conversation in a way that's productive?
No, I just wanted to see if you ever heckled on the inside. That's all. And I got my answer. The answer was yes.
You could have just ended your thought at no.
That was your contribution to this segment. Have you ever heckled on the inside? Why hasn't Chris Cody...
Working hard today, Dan.
Why hasn't Chris Cody indeed gone to the ocean yet?
What's
I understand.
The payoff? Put it on Instagram Live?
No, we don't need a payoff. I want honesty. I want transparency. I want authenticity. You can put it on Instagram Live as you walk to the ocean right now, because I've sent you to the ocean, and you can sort of you could treat it as the therapy couch. Just use it. Get out of here. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to see your face. You can come back in the next segment.
It's all theater of the mind. Yeah. Just go on IG Live, I guess, Chris Cody. Random payoff for people that haven't heard this bit of content yet.
Stugatz, have you seen...
Put a mask on.
Have you seen that Jason Tatum said yesterday after getting COVID, that he is now using an inhaler before games? And I don't know. I haven't watched the Celtics enough this year to know what the hell has happened to them. I've read that Kemba Walker is doing poorly. How much is Tatum down? How much worse are... The Celtics seem like a totally mediocre team in the East. They were going to be on the rise. It was going to be a whole thing. All they had to do was get past the Miami Heat, and they were going to all grow up. And now you've got Jason Tatum talking about an inhaler, and the Celtics don't feel like they're in the same realm with the Sixers and the Bucks and the Heat and the Nets.
I've got a couple of theories. The Eastern Conference has gotten better. So when Boston was considered one of the good teams, I'm not exactly how sure they actually were. You saw what happened when they matched up against the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. There was a sizable gulf there when you got down to the nitty-gritty. Brad Stevens seems to do really good in the regular season and underwhelming in the postseason. I think it's a combination of the Eastern Conference being better. I think that team is also a little bit worse. It's not just Kemba Walker declining. They lost Gordon Hayward. Say what you want, but he seems to have helped Charlotte when healthy over there. I think they're just not as good and never really have been as good as they were hyped up to be. Stugatz, you agree?
They're still the 5 seed. Like, they've won 4 straight. They won 7 of 10. They don't have, like, they're not a deep team. So the margin for error is very thin. If you lose Jason Tatum for a week or two, that's going to severely impact your team in a negative way. But
I still feel like in an Eastern Conference with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, I still feel like the Celtics can make a deep run in the Eastern Conference. For me, there is no dominant team in the Eastern Conference outside of the Nets. That's it. They're the only team.
And so if you were listening to what we just did there, we skipped past the part of this, right, the dehumanizing part of this, and went right to the analysis of what it did to their team. But the idea that this illness is enough for the biggest, strongest, fastest among us to have the lingering after effects on an unknown thing that all of us have learned about in the last 18 months, the horror, right, that we've now gotten used to somehow of an unseen airborne virus that can attack your lungs and even take a young person's breath. When I tell you that Jason Tatum is on an inhaler, and when I tell you that, like, Scott Van Pelt has lost taste for I don't know how many months and doesn't know when he's going to get it back, if he's going to get it back. I haven't checked in with Scott recently here. I'm just basing this on what it is that he was talking about in some interviews. But when I tell you that the after effects of some of this stuff, it's not just death, Stugatz. And when I tell you, when I juxtapose it against 6,500 deaths building the stadium in Qatar for the 2020 World Cup.
I mean, that was going to happen pre-COVID.
Yeah, it was going to happen anyway. But when I tell you about what's happening in sports right now, the dehumanizing normalization of, hey, look, 17-game season in football, and just and Roger Goodell arguing science as the reason that it's healthy.
No, this is a health and safety play, adding an additional regular season game.
When I tell you about the human cost of some of this stuff, of doing business, and it's your lungs, right? It's something as priceless as your breath.
Scary. It's scary, Dan, and I'm surprised a bigger deal isn't being made out of it. It's also curious because he volunteered this after he had his best performance of the season, 53 points, looking like Jason Tatum, the ascending player that we all know him to be, a guy that if you're building a team, he's one of maybe the first 10 players that you identify given his age. But yeah, it's a massive deal for a player to go from zero use of an inhaler his entire life, and then after this disease gets into his lungs, he has to change the way he can operate just so he can perform at the same level. It's very scary.
It's super scary. All his numbers are up from last year, so he's having his best season. But Dan, like, to your point, it is scary that you have these guys who are in peak physical condition, who are very, very young, who, you know, they take their body and their training very, very seriously, and they're still suffering effect from COVID-19. And so you would think, hey, maybe the leagues should maybe press on the brakes and maybe rather than 17 games, perhaps 15 games. But it's a catch-22 for the leagues, because do you move forward with your plans as a league, or do you kind of take your players into consideration?
You have your answer. Like, what? Stop with the maybes and all the qualifiers. Like, if nothing else from this pandemic in sports, please have it laid naked bare that these corporations are interested in the agreement of commerce, that the capitalism is what matters, not the bodies. Like, I'm not hysterical when I say that. It's the most obvious thing you've ever seen. This was the year of greed trumps all, business trumps all. We'll take the young person's lungs in part into their future. Hey, they make big contracts. They make a lot of money. The business is hemorrhaging. We need to make money.
And it does affect the integrity of the sport. Now, other injuries do too. We're not going to treat Myles Garrett getting COVID the way that we would treat him tearing his ACL when we're trying to rationalize it away, because we still see him out there. But a Myles Garrett operating at 65%, having to take himself out on the sideline against Patrick Mahomes during passing downs, that affects the outcome of the game in some degree. We just don't like to have that conversation because most people don't suffer for what we know now, long-term effects with this.
Well, that's the thing, though. We don't know now. And that's when I thought of Tatum on an inhaler, I'm like, is he going to be able to get off that, or is he going to be pumping steroids into his insides for a long time and not breathing normally 20 years
from now? This is frightening because I think we all understand the need to get our economy back going, right? And get back to some kind of normal. But most everyone in this studio injected themselves with a vaccine that we've got no idea if we got to take again in 12 months or not.
So we're in one of these positions, Stugatz, because I find this stuff super fascinating, right? When the all of the filters are taken off. And I can't believe, Stugatz, I felt like I was learning. I'm a cynic about sports, right? Like, how many times have you heard me be unemotional about, hey, look at what you're watching. I know it's your feel-good, it's your medicine, it's your escape. You jump up and down, but please understand this is the trafficking of bodies, and they make lots of money. And yes, coal miners also have jobs that don't pay very well, and they get lung problems too. I understand many of you are listening to this and saying, oh, boo-hoo, Jason Tatum, you make millions of dollars. I'm just fascinated by the casual reveal of, hey, yeah, I'm Jason Tatum, world-class athlete. I can't breathe the way that I used to. I need artificial medicine. Now, I can't go too far with this because some of this stuff is on your banned list. So I got to be careful what it is that I do here in these nebulous gray areas where we find cheating in medicine. But, hey, I got to take something to help me breathe because the disease of getting back to business has harmed my lungs. I'm a young person, bigger, stronger, faster. Like the coldness of that, the overtness of it, even by my cynical standards, Stugatz, it's been like being hit in the face with a fish about where I've made my money for 30 years. Like, it's pretty cold. Would you not agree?
Boo-hoo.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.